Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Gentlemen, welcome to a very serious and very disappointed Radio Renegades, where I am your host, Christian from Philly. And before I'm going to tell you why I'm disappointed and angry, let me introduce my co-host, as always, for this evening. Give a round of warm applause for Batman.
And Batman is not here, so I am filling in for the moment, for the time being.
Well,
I think he's on his way in, but we'll see.
Well, that's Minister, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, my producer. Give a warm round of applause for him as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Where is that applause? Here they are. Mm-hmm. I think so. Somewhere around here. Oh, yeah, there they are. But it's a serious show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious show today, so
what
do you have on tap for us?
This importing show, as you all know, the first quarter of money has come from WWE. It's been leaked, it's been released. And people, when you're right, you're right. And we've been calling it, I've been calling it for weeks, that they have been losing fucking money. They've been saying, oh, you know, we're getting a lot of money. No, they're fucking not. They're actually losing money, Minister. Fucking live event ticket sales, fucking merchandise sales, all that shit. They lost a lot of fucking money this past week. Fucking last year's was 5,800 fans on live events. It went down to 4,800 this year. Every live event that people go to, 600 people don't come. Fucking the merchandise sales are gone to the toilet. And let's not forget the horrific ratings on television. You want to know something interesting? 2 years ago, right, April, with the night after WrestleMania, those 2 years ago, 2018, even 2017, did better than this year's WrestleMania after WrestleMania ratings. Those shows had 3 million viewers. This year had 2. What the fuck is the state of WWE right now, Minister? It's a fucking mess.
And it is indeed. I mean, that's, and you know what? This is great, man. This is great. And then with the emergence of AEW, which I'm still not sold on it because, you know, the lack of top stars. However, you know, as long as the writing is good, as long as it's entertaining, I mean, I don't see why not. I know I'm in it for, I'm going to gamble on it. You know, I'm definitely going to gamble on it. And I mean, shit, man, WWE right now is just on a downward spiral of destruction, and the numbers are coming out now. They're not making money. Just last week I was saying how they were making money. They're not making money. They're fucking losing money. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, Batman is with us, so please give him a warm round of applause if we can, perhaps. Maybe. Batman, are you here, buddy?
Oh, yeah, brother. Excuse the tardiness, brother. Just had a little bit of technical difficulties getting started on.
Excuse a little tardiness, man. Had a little technical difficulties, as I mentioned.
That's
fine. In my Randy Savage's voice, but I am on, like, bomb.com, so I'm ready for tonight.
And it was revealed. this week about the money that they're losing. And just, you know, I've been saying that they make money at these shows, but apparently it's been now revealed that they're losing money. And I was telling Christian that I'm glad. I'm glad because
and
then the ratings went down.
I knew all along, by
what,
the way.
I'm glad. And I'm going to tell you why, as fucked up as that sounds. I'm glad because finally it's going to be time for them to do something about it. I'm sick of complaining about this shit. And apparently now the stockholders know because, you know, the
mm-hmm.
report came out. Now the stockholders are pissed off. So now they got no choice but to fucking amp things up, I think. And then hopefully that's what happens because it's been definitely not meeting any expectations of mine as of late. So hopefully they can pick things up. But having said that, I do have to get going. And guys, I want to
mm-hmm.
thank you guys for being here tonight and have a great show.
Well,
okay, guys?
Thanks, Minister. So, Batman, this what a
yes,
this
sir,
shake
yes,
up my ass. Shake up my ass, dude. This shake up was a fraud. The ratings are proof of that. The numbers don't fucking lie. Last 2 years straight, right? Raw after WrestleMania. Those 2 years ago drew in $3 million. This year drew $2 fucking million. They're losing fucking money. Like I've been saying it all along. They've been losing fucking money. They lost the fucking merch revenue money. They're losing revenue. A lot of events are tanking, you know. Last year was 5,800. Now it's 4,800. And now I just learned, right, on my paper right here, on my sheet, that they lose 600 fans each live event. And it's now, it's getting fucking worse. And it's got, and also, I don't know if you saw the Bray Wyatt gimmick. You know, I think it's the greatest gimmick of all time. I think this will finally rejuvenate his career with the whole creepy kid show. But now the stockholders and the fucking, you know, they want to cancel it. So, Batman, what do you feel about all this fucking shit that's happening to WWE? And by the way, they deserve it because they've been fucking idiots. They deserve it.
Well, one thing that caught my attention was you said the stalkers, the people, the sponsors, I guess, they're trying to cancel out the Bray Wyatt promos that's going on or him as a
mm-hmm.
character.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. That's I'm not so sure why they would if Fox Network is trying to get this make it not PG and doing and actually thinking it. Oh, okay. There are other sponsors like Mattel's
mm-hmm.
voice sponsor or something.
It didn't say Fox. It just said other sponsors and all that shit.
Okay, well that still brings up the question: if Fox is still one of their sponsors, one of the networks that are trying to pick up, how is that going to affect the other sponsors? Because again, Fox Network wants 3-hour show that's not PG, basically
mm-hmm.
something different than what they've been doing as of late the past decade. They want to get not Attitude Era, but obviously a little more edgier. Well, if that's the
ruthless
case, what is that going to do to the sponsors? And I say that because if
mm-hmm.
they're already bitching about Bray Wyatt's character or his gimmick going on right now. I mean, if they're trying to get edgier, WWE we've all seen it, can be a hell of a lot edgier. So it begs the question, where is it going to be when they don't, when they do bring the edgierness down, on the show, what is that going to do to the sponsors? Are they going to find a new sponsors or? You know what I mean? Because it's going to be kind of a battle. Because if you really are trying to get something edgier, and these sponsors are already kind of getting mad on this little tidbit that's happening now, imagine when it becomes a 3-hour show and it does get a hell of a lot edgier. Because for a while they were doing that, you know, with the Mandy Rose bikini or not bikini, but with her underwear.
Yeah.
You haven't seen a girl do lingerie in a while.
Blood.
You know,
Look how her career is going right now, dude, through the toilets, like I've been calling.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what I think it is? Honestly, man, it's not just a creative thing. I think, again, and I've said this so many times,
mm-hmm.
so I feel like I'm tired. No. What I'm saying, it is just a stacked roster. So creative has a lot of stories that they're trying to focus on or trying to trying to get out there, you know what I mean? And I think that's what happens again with everybody. You see somebody get a good shot, you see them get, like, they're starting to get on the roll, and then they get lost in the shuffle again. Because now that while they're bringing up this person, while they're bringing up one person, now they're, you know what I mean, they're trying to build up another one behind that person. And sometimes they don't even let that person, like, kind of shoot off before they even try to bring in another star. You know what I mean? And it's like that, with, especially, like, with shakeups and stuff right now. Like, you already had a main roster in Raw. Why are you putting people from NXT and showing them up on Raw? Then you're just taking the space from the people that are already on Raw, that are already on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? And that's how this shakeup kind of went. Like, for example, Cien Almas went to Raw. They made a big deal about it, and next thing you know, he's back on SmackDown the next night. Because
actually,
of, I guess.
Actually, it wasn't him. It was Charlotte. It was Charlotte who wanted Andrade back on SmackDown because they're engaged.
Yeah, because they got engaged. But that's something like you shouldn't have put him on Raw to begin with. Then you just kind of just teased it, or you just, there goes your flimsiness again. You get what I'm saying? It's like, there goes again,
dude,
where you're showing that you're not paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, but dude, it's a good thing, because what the fuck were they going to do with him on Raw anyway? What were they going to do with Andrade on Raw to begin with? Nothing.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but that doesn't mean you... I mean...
Seriously.
I don't know. We've kind of hit a standstill with a lot of people. Creative has a lot of work that they got to do, but they're not going to be able to accomplish any of this if they're focusing on 70 superstars for each fucking brand. Because NXT on its own has what? We'll say about a good 20 stars right now. Raw has good. Well, I want to say Raw has a good, what, 40, 45 maybe, 40? SmackDown has the same thing. Yeah, what I'm saying, still. Enough to where you got to fill 3 hours. That's still 150 superstars that you're going to have to try to build up.
I don't even think
WCW and WWE had that when they were in their prime, when they had all these stars. You know what I mean?
Don't forget about Main Event also.
Main Event, 205 Live, UK. You got all these people that you're trying to get over, but you're already having a hard time getting over one. Do you mean you have a hard time getting over just the main people you're trying to, the select few, and you're
Cedric
still trying
Alexander.
To bring enough time?
Cedric Alexander's already Apollo Crews Part 2.0.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing for these people, because, you know, you see that they're trying, and it's great that they're getting these opportunities and getting the money, but what are you doing with their career? Do you know what I mean? I guess there's times where you think about, well, I mean, like, yeah, again, they're getting opportunity, they're getting airtime, they're getting merchandising.
Airtime.
But at the same time, you do that. You're what?
They're shown as losers. It doesn't matter if they get.
But yeah,
airtime.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
At the same time,
losers.
You have him there, not doing anything. You're just kind of just letting him dwindle. And then there's other stars that you don't even show that could possibly even have something going on. The Ziggler or Zack Ryder, or
well,
you know,
Ziggler.
Like.
Well, fuck Ziggler.
Well,
I don't like Ziggler.
I'm a huge fan of Ziggler. I've always been a huge fan of Ziggler.
I'm glad he's taking time off.
I am too, because it gives people time to miss him. You go from being underused to being overused. And not even in a good way. Do you get what I mean? You're just putting him on TV to put him on TV, not putting him in any good spots. You give, like, and that's what I was going to get to. You're putting these people, you're giving them airtime, you're giving them this and that, but you're just not giving him any good roles either, though. Do you get what I mean? It's kind of like you're making him like a supporting role. They're all supporting roles, basically. You don't have a main star anymore. You know, like, Raw is like a movie, and you got the main hero. You don't have none of that. You have nothing but supporting actors. And you're not going to get a movie over by just nothing but supporting actors.
Let's just say it like this. Marvel is SmackDown is Marvel. Raw is DC.
And yes, you are right there. Because DC has great characters. They have the Supermans. They got the Batman. But their stories have been just whacked as of late, especially their movies. Marvel, on the other hand, has great superstars. But and they're actually knowing how to do something with it. You have your hit or miss, but very rarely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's still, and even when it misses, it's still close enough to be almost a hit. You know what I mean? When Raw misses, they miss the boat completely. Like, instead of just being late to when the ship is being docked, like, you literally showed up the next day. You know what I mean? You got your calendar and your dates wrong. Like, that's how bad they're off. Man, and it's, and as a fan, and as a fan, it's like, you know, they should, here's the thing, WWE has this where they're not really worried, you know, you hear all these rumors and stuff, oh, they should be worried about AEW, blah, blah, blah. In reality, they're not, but in reality, they should be. Exactly. In reality, they should be, because these guys are getting the attention. I think what WWE has done now in the past, let's say, decade, they've really gotten into a comfortable zone. Does that make sense? They know what they're doing. They're just riding that train.
And that's it. And the fact that AEW now has Goldust.
Yeah, another superstar. And then they're still thinking about getting Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose has did you see I don't know if you've seen it lately. There was an interview with him and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And I believe it was Michael Cole who was interviewing them. And he goes, let me tell you something. He's like, he starts talking about how it's all his chips. He's putting them all in and all this stuff. Like, in that little promo, there's hints of AEW. Now, we're over here. We could just be talking out of our ass and not know. And it turns out he doesn't go to AEW. But, again, they should feel some kind of threat. Because, yes, they got their own network.
And then the fact that CM Punk is back from wrestling.
Yeah. He showed up and did a little spot, right? And then it was funny because in the comment when they did it, like the little hashtag, they were like, some punk came and showed up and mirrored in the main event or something like that. And you can tell it's him. Look, WWE has a lot to worry about. They don't have – here's what they don't need to worry about money in a way to where, look, they're a machine. Even if they lose people now, it's going to take a lot for them to fall down. You know what I mean? Their fall from grace is going to take a lot. But that does not mean that they still should not feel threatened or still should not feel like some kind of competition out there. You know what I mean? Because it is going to hit. Everything is a circle. Everything is a cycle. And we're going to get back to where that Attitude Era was. And it's about time for it, too, because it's been 20 years now. I don't think it's going to last where they're not going to have competition. Because it's just, again, that's just the circle of life. You know what I mean? And that's in every aspect of life. And, for example, here's the wrestling business. It went to that for a while before in the 80s and territory days. And then it went to where there was no territory, and it was the WWE, WCW, and ECW came along. And then, again, that disappeared, and then it was WWE again. But then what, TNA started coming around to where they were really giving these guys a run for their money. They were getting video game deals. They were on game shows. They were having their own specials, stuff like that. And then it came, you know, it went back out. But now it's been about almost 20 years since something came, because TNA came out like 2001, 2002. And we're hitting that cycle where something big is going to come out again. And I think they need to be threatened because, I'll cut this short because I'm going on a tirade now too. What was I going to say? Their competition is like, okay, look, they got the movies, they got their network, they got these shows going on, they got over 10 hours of just TV time, not including the network, every week.
Yeah.
But does it mean that it's a good show every week? Exactly my point, though. You got 10 hours of life, you got 10 hours of TV, but none of those hours are fucking good at all. Those 10 hours equal up to a TNA, TNA 2-hour show. What good is you having 10 hours of TV when none of it's doing any good? Your ratings are going down.
And it's also a waste of money.
It is. You could tell. I had this conversation with a brother the other day. He's like, man, I've noticed that they don't have pyro anymore. I'm like, yeah, because they're trying to save money. You notice that the Titantrons, they're not as dynamic as they used to be either. Pretty much Raw and SmackDown and 205, and they're all the same fucking, they're all the same arena. I mean, they're all the same
design. All that money is going to the XFL.
Man, and I hope it doesn't. I don't really, I doubt it. I think a lot of the money has been going to production for like creating more content.
No, it is. It's going for the fucking XFL. You know it, dude. Deep down, you know it.
I mean, it's a possibility. I'll just say that. And if they're investing in themselves again. But here's the thing with the XFL. We'll talk about that. We'll go to that now, I guess, if that's okay. The XFL. Here's the risk that they're going to have to take yet again. The only thing that they have is an upside, and that's just if, because even the network has been doing a little bad as of late. The only thing they have going for them is the network, because they have their own network where they can show their own show with no time limit, no regards to what the FCC or whatever the fuck is going to say about the show, because it's their own network. They can show whatever they want to show, you know what I mean? That's the only positive thing that I can see that's going for them. But if you're going to redo the XFL and you're really going to put all this money into it, make sure that it's not the same freaking product. You get what I mean? Make sure they're going to have to make sure that this is going to be something way different. And you know what? You're probably going to say this. It's going to be the same bullshit it was in 2002.
It is. Because football hasn't been doing great lately. And they just want to milk the success of the NFL even more. But let me ask you something. What's your opinion on them losing money?
Of the what?
What's your opinion of WWE losing money?
Losing money?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was getting to earlier was them losing money. It fits into the conversation that they're getting competition. They're losing money because everybody else is out there watching everything else now. There's not just WWE. Again, we're going full circle. There's more companies coming out again. And even companies that have been out that are really kind of like, okay, they're catching on. You know what I mean? Like, New Japan has finally been catching on. And I mean in the fact that New Japan has been out for a while, but they only focused on their stuff. Do you get what I'm saying? They only focused in their bubble. Once they started coming out and getting stuff for, like, on Fight TV, pay-per-view, new streaming services, now they have shows here in the United States, and they've been traveling, doing shows abroad. I mean, like, you know, not just the United States, in other countries now. They're catching a lot of eyes. And in not just that, their characters have caught a lot of eyes. The Bullet Club is a New Japan product, and the Bullet Club outsells WWE shirts by a huge margin in certain demographic places. For example, like Hot Topic. Hot Topic is nothing but Bullet Club, Alpha Club, and all that stuff shirts. Not WWE. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You go to Rest Your World. Yeah. You go to WrestlingTees.com. The people who aren't in WWE make more money in just their own and their merchandise than the people who work in WWE for their merchandise.
The merchandise sales have been plummeting too.
They have.
Mm-hmm.
For one, like I said, it's just. Look, nobody's invested in anything anymore. Merchandise sales, you have to have a person, you have to have people invested in your character for them to want to spend their money on your shit. You know, you think, for example, when Stone Cold was hot, you think people thought twice about spending $40 on a shirt for Stone Cold? Fuck no.
No.
Because he was a hot commodity. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give a fuck about spending $70-$80 on the game. Because you had stars that were driving that game. Now you have a game that is the same exact game that you pulled out 4 or 5 years ago, and no real stars. I'm not saying that I'm not, and it's not any disrespect to the stars that are there now, but none of them are having any of those runs or anything close to where The Rock or Stone Cold or any of those other guys had.
No.
You know what I mean? Even Triple H or Goldberg, even when it was in the aggressive, ruthless aggression era, we still had some people that you could still push. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. We don't have any of that anymore.
Becky thinks she does. Becky thinks she's like Stone Cold and Rock with the push she's getting.
Especially what?
She thinks.
What do you mean?
Like, you know. She thinks like she's over Rock, like Rock and Hogan and Stone Cold. She's out of her fucking mind. She's nowhere near the level of fucking Stone Cold, Rock, or Hogan, Becky. She's nowhere near that level. Speaking of Becky, Batman, she's in a bit of conundrum because now she has to face two people at Money in the Bank, Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair. Here's the problem with this, right? In one hand, if she loses the Raw belt and retains the SmackDown belt, right, she goes SmackDown Live. But then we gotta keep seeing fucking Becky and Charlotte, which is a fucking chore to begin with. But in the other fucking hand, the worst case scenario, she loses the SmackDown belt, keeps the Raw belt and goes to Raw, while she'll have fucking shitty matches with female wrestlers that are not top stars, anything. So all in all, Becky Lynch is fucked, Batman. She's fucked in the end. What are your thoughts of Becky Lynch being fucked?
I don't disagree with you, man. Because I want to see what direction they're going to go with this. You're doing two title belts, two title shots, or two title matches in one show. She's bound to lose one of them because you aren't going to have her going back and forth. Second, the Lacey Evans thing, I'm not saying that I don't like where it's going because I kind of do, but I kind of don't. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I felt like how you were saying, they were trying to make this Becky Lynch the man, WrestleMania, you know, is what they were, their hook, their hashtag was, the WrestleMania of this year. She isn't on any of those guys' levels. I don't even think WWE even think or even thought for a second that she wasn't that level. They were trying to push it like that, but, here's the thing with the crowd. I think it has a lot to do with the crowd as well. The crowd is very fickle. So you're hot one minute, and literally the next night, nobody gives a fuck about you. And that's the sad thing, because Becky Lynch's run was going good. The whole story was going good. The WrestleMania with him main eventing and all that stuff, and her whole story about her getting the two belts and all that.
But it wasn't good.
But
anyway.
Now it's not. Now it looks like it's not as hot.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it wasn't good to begin with because she had to fake a fucking leg injury up until fucking Fastlane.
Okay, other than that, other than the leg injury.
And coming out and fucking walking on fucking wheelchairs and fucking stretchers every fucking Monday on SmackDown and cutting the same fucking promo. Fucking boring. She's fucking, you know what? I'm going to say it. Becky Lynch is fucking boring. She's fucking boring. I only cheered for her because I wanted the belt off of Rousey. That's it. That's why I picked her to win. I wasn't behind Becky Lynch. I wasn't behind this fake fucking gimmick. She's fucking boring. She's fucking boring. I can't understand a word she fucking says every time she fucking cuts a promo. because her Irish accent is so thick, I can't fucking understand what she's saying. She has worst promos ever. Her fucking two matches on Raw have been fucking dreadful. And now I have to see a fucking feud that started all the way from last year in August in SummerSlam with Charlotte Flair still continuing. Fucking bullshit this is.
Yeah, that's another thing about the Charlotte thing being in the mix. It's like, when are they going to have her move? When are they going to move her along to other stars? There's a lot of, look, Charlotte, you can build stars off of her. And stars that are even made there, but you could use her in so many other places. There's Natty. There's a feud with Natty that would be great with her. There's a feud. I could even see Charlotte and Lacey Evans feuding. There's so many other people that you could put Charlotte into, and if you think that she's not going to be, like for example, Ruby Riott, you know, people probably aren't expecting much on her. Put her against Charlotte Flair. I bet you she'll make it look great. Liv Morgan is going on SmackDown by herself. Put her against Charlotte Flair. If anybody, you know what I'm saying? If there's anybody that can make Liv Morgan, and I'm not saying Liv Morgan isn't good at all. She's good. But if you like, for example, you put her on there because you're trying to see if you can make her a single star. There's obviously something that they see in her because they're putting her solo in SmackDown. Put her against Charlotte. Charlotte would be a great fucking, a great stepping stone for her. Do you get what I mean? But no. What do? They bring her back to freaking Becky Lynch. Back to the same feud, the same story we've been seeing for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that story anymore. There's so many other superstars that you could build up.
And you know what? You know what else is fucked up? Fucking Charlotte's character. I swear to God, she acts like a fucking 5-year-old. Like, seriously, dude, she's acting like a fucking 5-year-old. Have you noticed that too now, that she's acting like a 5-year-old?
From her promos and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, her character and her promos.
Well, yeah, covered out whining.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
That's not very much what a queen should act like.
No, and I think it kills her character. Like you said, you're going to try to make her a queen. Again, this is a superstar that few years that she's been there, she really has been on top of everything, like just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can build a lot of stuff around her. So for her,
hey, I'm on my freak.
For her to be, again, she's a foundation. You could really use her in a lot of different feuds. Don't put her as a whiny gimmick or I can't do this or, you know, how come I'm not getting that? Look, you get all the chances you get. She's gotten every other fucking chance, you know what I'm saying, that most girls haven't gotten.
I don't think she needs to win a title ever again. I mean,
I don't think she needs to win any title anytime soon. Right now, what they need to do for her is they need to use her for stars that they haven't used her on yet to build around. Because, again, like, for example, Liv Morgan going to SmackDown, Charlotte Flair would be an awesome person to build a feud with her. Now to see how you would build it is one thing. But as, like, building a star where you see, like, their in-ring progression, promo progression, and just, putting eyes, that would be a great example.
You know what I would do? You know what I would do?
Yeah. What would you do?
I would have Charlotte Flair feuding with Zelina Vega for managerial rights for Andrade. Adding a real realism into it. Fucking Charlotte marrying Andrade.
And that's the thing. And that's why you're really good at that, because you're really good at the booking. But you get what I'm trying to say. Is that is another opportunity of building a star. Zelina Vega right now is somebody that's hot. Not just hot looks, but hot in just her gimmick, her being with Andrade. It's undoubtedly clear that a lot of his star power has come because of him being with Zelina. Zelina is good in the ring,
already,
too. So that's a great...
It's already happening.
But again, what was that?
It's already happening, though.
Selena
caused Andrade to lose against Finn Balor. It's already happening.
Andrade losing to Finn Balor? What do you mean? Explain a little bit.
Yes. Selena accidentally jumped on Andrade with the top rope move on SmackDown this Tuesday and caused Andrade to lose to Finn Balor. The breakup is already happening.
Yeah, they're putting it in motion. They're putting it in motion. But now, that motion needs to be, you can put a lot of things in motion, but if you don't have direction, you don't know where the hell you're going. You know what I mean? So here's an example of like that. Maybe they're listening to the podcast because it goes to show that it happens a lot I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, okay, here. For example, like that, where you were saying that the Charlotte and Selena and all that, the little storyline, they're probably going to set that in motion now. That's the direction they're going to put that motion in. That's what I meant to say. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, that would be a perfect example. For right now, you've seen that they're putting in the seeds of them breaking up or they're about to split up. Well, that would be a great way to do it, to segue it into including Charlotte Flair, and everybody obviously knows that they're a thing now. They've made it public. So why not? The best storylines that they ever use in wrestling are kind of rooted in reality, you know? The feuds that I remember the most are the ones that were based on reality. Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, they genuinely didn't like each other, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, we got to get the show on the road. So let's start off with this booking opportunity. The first one is the 2019 shakeup. And boy, was it shit this year, especially on the Raw side. I don't even remember who went to Raw anymore. Like, fucking Eric Young went to Raw, waste of a pick. Fucking Naomi went to Raw, waste of a fucking pick. The Usos, okay, it's meh. The Viking Raiders, by the way, they're not called the Viking Experience. They heard me rant about it. So, yep, they changed the name because of me. It's because of me. It's because of all of us.
So we should thank you?
Yeah, no. They should thank us because it wasn't only me that said it. They should thank us. So what else?
You see, that's an example of, again, listening. They got to listen to this podcast or something, because every time we point something out, it has to be the next show they do those changes or something. Because, yes, we were just going on a little diatribe about, like, the Viking Experience. Why would you do that? Why would you change the name? And it must have been Vince like, they were really good at NXT. The Viking Experience. That's what we got to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that can come across my mind is that that's what just came across his mind. It was like, well, they're going to the main roster. Let's try something new. But why would you do that? They're already known as that. And then guess what? Next thing you know, just like you said, we say it on the podcast the next night. Wham, bam, thank you, man. They're back to normal. This superstar shakeup, man. Like you've been talking about. I'm just not understanding some of them. Look, I can get AJ Styles going and Roman going. But, like, those two, I understand those two.
Roman's gonna get exposed. Roman's gonna get exposed on SmackDown like the bitch he is. You know that, right? He's gonna get exposed as being a shit wrestler there.
I think we mentioned this last time. I think Roman, what's gonna happen to him is what happened with Batista.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He was a big, big, huge role in Raw. He had a huge push, but because he was depicted as the big dog, that he was, everybody's job was to get him over and make him look good. But then as soon as he went to SmackDown, he had to humble himself in reality, and he's gone and said it himself in interviews and things like that, where the same thing, he was built as a big dog there in Raw to where. Everybody was, their job was to make him look good. When he went to SmackDown, he humbled real quick because they were like, no, dude, we're the actual technical wrestlers. We're a real show here. This isn't like movie night on Raw. No, this is the real deal. We're going to whip your ass here. And it's exactly what happened. He had to learn really quick on the fly, like, oh, this is what a putting on a show is like. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's how he said it verbatim, but that was basically the gist of it. And I think this is what's going to happen with Roman here. Roman has been made to look like a big dog in Raw. But now that he's on SmackDown with a whole different breed of wrestlers, superstars, and I'm not saying he's going to be exposed, but you're pretty damn close to it.
So far, it's already gotten to a fucking garbage start. The fucking brawl between Shane, Elias, and Roman was fucking garbage. Fucking Shane and Elias were, like, tackling Roman like he was a fucking fan. And fucking Elias and Shane were fucking security guards. Did you see the horrific brawl on SmackDown? Fucking awful. That's probably the worst brawl I've ever seen Roman Reigns be a part of. Did you see it, Batman? That fucking opening segment this past Tuesday?
No, actually, I missed a lot of Raw and SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
I caught on some stuff when you catch, like, you know, through Facebook or whatever. I'll see, like, you know, little things that went on.
Yeah.
But for, like, the actual full show, I didn't get to see. But you saying that, though, I mean, with Roman, here's a star that they tried to really shove down our throat on Raw for years now. It hasn't been just a year. It's been, we're going on, what, three years now, straight, 3 or 4 years. Ever since, like, probably, I believe, the first WrestleMania that their interaction with Brock Lesnar.
He debuted it in 2012.
Okay. But on his singles push is what I mean, but when they really try to shove him down our throat,
2015.
That didn't work. That didn't work, so why continue trying to do it now?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they're going to try to do. Like, obviously, it didn't work on Raw. Let's see if we can do that on SmackDown. But I don't think so, because I think in SmackDown, they're going to tear him up. They're going to tear him up bad.
It was horrific, dude. It was the worst opening brawl I've ever fucking seen, all right? Shane was fucking gassed. He was out of fucking breath. Elias did the worst fucking punches I've ever seen him did. Fucking the whole point... They were holding him down on the floor like they were two fucking security guards. And Roman was the fucking fan. It was fucking horrific. One of the worst fake brawls I've ever fucking seen, dude. Awful. Awful. Already it's fucking awful with Roman on SmackDown. All fucking ready. And it's been confirmed. The first SmackDown pay-per-view match he's going to get is fucking Elias. That's going to be a garbage match. Dude, I'm not going to fucking lie. It's fucking awful already. The starting point for Roman on SmackDown is already fucking awful. And to me, we're looking at a match between fucking Shane and Roman, and that's going to be fucking awful too, dude, because Shane is going to have to carry his fucking ass and bump for this motherfucker like there's no tomorrow. Shane has to bump like a god for this motherfucker. That's going to be fucking awful. Horrible.
Well, Shane is pretty good at bumping, but
yeah.
What do you see his character going right now?
I don't fucking know.
And that's weird of you saying that, because I never hear you saying that.
What? What? Never hear me say what?
No, I had a brain fart. What were we talking about? I completely had a brain fart.
We were talking about Shane and Roman.
The Shane. I never hear you say, I don't know what I would do with him. Usually you have an idea or a direction. Shane thing, I don't know
how do I direct somebody that has already done practically everything in the company? How do I direct someone like that?
Well, yeah, Shane has done a lot in the company. I think the one thing that I haven't seen him do in a while was win the title and go heel. Because he used to be heel. But I think what worked
heel.
For him when he was heel back then is that he was younger. He was more pretentious. You know what I mean? So it worked. It kind of worked with the whole authority thing and the corporation and all that. That worked. But right now he's older. He's a family man. And that gimmick, it doesn't work for him now. I don't know what it is.
No.
Like, this heel turn has turned really flat for me. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
you know,
Elias
why?
And,
you know,
and him being in the brawl with Elias and Roman,
you
didn't do
why?
Him any
you know
favors.
Why? You know why it's fucking flat? Because he turned on fucking Miz. That's why it was fucking flat. Should have been the other fucking
I know.
Way around.
It should have been the other way around, and nobody was ready for that. People actually were kind of enjoying the Shane and the Miz thing. And, I mean, leave it. The only reason I'm going to say this, leave it up to Vince, because nothing gets done without his approval. It shouldn't have been split. They should have never split it. Vince has this thing where he goes. Vince has this thing where if something is going really, really good, shut it down right now. You know, the way he talks.
No,
what they should have done
is have Miz attack his own father and then turn heel on Shane. That's what should have fucking happened.
And see, we can believe that because the Miz really does a good heel, and that's just part of his gimmick. It's something that we're like, it would only make sense. But Shane, him going heel, and just again, the split was, we weren't ready. Again, we weren't even ready for them to be a tag team to begin with. I remember when they were first forming this a couple months ago, they were dropping hints of them being like a tag team. People were kind of against it. But once it started kind of rolling, people started getting behind it. And here we go again. And once something starts getting hot, what do? Turn that heat down and cool it off real quick. I don't know why they do that. And then we get stuck in situations like this. Like, I don't see where the heel run is going. I don't see where you're going to – like, okay, it's cool. You're turning heel with the Miz. But normally when you do something, it's because you got some kind of longevity or some kind of plan to go with it. So where do you go after the Miz? I don't see anything going on after the Miz. Like, okay, work for that, but it barely even worked for that.
He's going to go after Roman now. He's going to go after Roman because Roman – has to be booked as the fucking underdog, like always. That's the plan, dude.
And that's
what,
that, and that is the problem. That is the problem. They always book him as an underdog. We all know damn well that he is not an underdog. He's the big dog.
Yeah.
So what kind of dog is he going to be?
That has always been the fucking plan. From day one. Awful.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. What is the plan? Are you planning to make him the big dog or are you planning to make him the underdog? Because you can't be both. You can't be both. So, and a lot of times they do that. And here's the thing with Roman is that that's the reason why that shoving it in her face doesn't work either, because his stories aren't consistent. You make him the big dog, but then make his story like he's the underdog. Like you said, it's from the very, very beginning. You make him the underdog. You know what? That works for Rey Mysterio. That works for Muhammad Ali. That works for Mustafa Ali.
He's the big underdog. That's what they're telling
you. But that makes no sense. But that's what I'm saying. That makes no sense because he's bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
You can't be an underdog and be bigger than everybody else. You're either the big dog or an underdog. And the underdog just does not work for him. Because it's not believable. I don't see him being an underdog against a Rey Mysterio or a Shane McMahon or even The Miz. Where's the underdog story there?
I think Roman actually believes he's a fucking dog. I think he actually does believe he's a dog. I think he does believe he's a fucking dog. I mean, he looks like one.
Jesus Christ, that was low.
He looks like one. His hair kind of resembles fucking dog ears if you look at it closely.
Jesus Christ. We're hitting some low blows today.
And he also says about his yard and shit. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes the WWE title and buries it in his fucking yard, never to be seen again.
That's a YouTube skit right there. Burying.
Yeah.
gonna bury the title.
But speaking of Mustafa Ali, what the fuck happened to him? Did he just suddenly drop off the face of the earth?
No, the problem was that they didn't have anything for creative. I think I mentioned this like probably two, three podcasts ago, that they were thinking of moving him back to 205 Live.
Because
they didn't have anything for him.
Awful.
So then what was, and that's the thing, what was the point of bringing him up to the main roster to give him that much of a push, and people were really behind him? Like, we were, they were actual, you've seen it in comments, people were actually waiting for him to be the champion just because of the way things are going. And then, obviously, this stuff happened where he got injured. And, you know, then it kind of went back downhill. Things happened for a reason, I think he was ready for that.
Don't be surprised if Cedric goes back to 205 Live either.
That's the thing, I'm not. I'm not surprised.
All right, so let's move on.
Because they've been doing that, and I don't know why.
Yeah, well, let's move on to the Viking Experience missed booking opportunity. Like we said, they changed the name to the Viking Experience. It was shit. But then they changed it back to Viking Raiders. You know what? If you don't want the word war, just call them the fucking Raiders. Don't have the whole Viking in it. Just call them the Raiders. Or, you know, the Chaos Raiders. How about that?
I don't like this whole obviousness. Like, we don't need you to tell us that they're Vikings. These guys just look like, you know, they look like berserkers. But I don't need Viking in there. Viking to me just sounds like
you just made
it sound so lame for them.
We already have a Viking wrestler in Sarah Logan. We don't need another one. We already have a
Viking. Well, that's the thing is that she's actually, I believe, she's married to one of them. So that's the reason why.
No, but that's character now. She's a Viking.
Yeah, she's a Viking because of him, I think, because they both are kind of...
Yeah, well, enough about that Viking Experience. Let's move on to the one that fucking upsetted me the most. Drew not going to SmackDown where he should be right now. Instead, Drew's still in mid-card hell on fucking Raw with the guy who I believe is one of the main reasons why Raw is fucking failing, Baron Corbin. You want to know why I think Baron Corbin is one of the major factors of why Raw is failing? Well, let me give you another proof of facts. The numbers don't fucking lie. I have the
ratings. You mean because
the
reason to be failing is because no one really cares about Baron Corbin and he's the one that you're giving all this fucking airtime to? No wonder people are changing the channels because nobody wants to see what the fuck he says or what he's doing. It's so, and then now disrespect to Baron Corbin, I'm sure he worked his ass off, but nobody cares for that character right now. Nobody's cared for that character for a while. And then you make him win in WrestleMania with Kurt Angle on his back. Nobody really, really, really does not want to hear what the fuck you say now. You know what I mean? No one cares.
Yeah.
And he is in every single segment. If he's like, how many segments is he on in Raw now?
He was on fucking three.
Three or four.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of segments.
Four.
That's still a segment
an
hour.
That's fucking awful. That's fucking awful. Not to mention the segments where he was fucking GM.
Yeah, I know. I do believe that that's part of the reason why.
Let me tell you the ratings before you continue, dude. Let me tell you something. Okay. The first hour this past Monday started off with 2.5, all right? 2.5. When it went to the second hour, it dropped all the way to 2.2. Then by the third hour, where Baron Corbin was main eventing, it went down to 2.1. So that means Raw lost 400,000 viewers on Monday Night Raw because of Baron Corbin. And not only that, but Baron Corbin made a slide remark as well. You want to know what his slide remark was? He called us basement dwellers. How the fuck are you expecting fans of your product to stick around and have one of the wrestlers call them fucking basement dwellers? They will do the only rational thing, they would fucking tune off. So not only is he fucking ruining Raw, but he's also making slight comments like that that's making viewers turn off the TV. Can you believe that, Batman? He called us basement dwellers.
Well, I think he's poking fun at the internet wrestling community because most of them are. I don't know. Maybe I'm probably going to get hate mail over this. But oh well. I mean, he's just making fun of the ones that usually are, the ones that are behind the keyboard just saying, oh, well, this and this and that, and have never even stepped into a ring once. You know what I mean? So I get what he's saying that, but yet again, still a boring gimmick, still a boring character. Nobody's invested in you. You get, and there's one thing I was going to point out was, he really is, there you really are in a lot of segments, or he's put in a lot of segments that no one cares about. And then you put him in segments that people should be caring about, but nobody cares because it's you. For example, the last, what was it, the last chapter, the last whatever the fuck, for the Shield, the special.
Yeah.
And who, of all fucking people for you to put them against, who do you put them against in the main event? Bobby fucking Lashley and Baron fucking Corbin.
Drew McIntyre
is the exception. Drew McIntyre is the exception because I actually still have something for Drew McIntyre. Unless that's me, maybe I'm just being biased, but I think it's a consensus that out of those three, okay, well, the majority believes that Drew McIntyre deserves to be there, but Baron Corbin, nobody wants them.
Yeah, but Baron's fucking over. Baron's fucking over.
Baron what?
Baron fucking Drew over to Mick Card Hell. Baron's the reason why Drew's in Mick Card Hell.
You think so?
Yeah.
Or is it because they don't know what the fuck to do?
No, it's because Baron and fucking Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre keep fucking teaming up, and Drew McIntyre doesn't get a fucking singles rush. And that's why I said for Drew to go over fucking SmackDown.
Or maybe for Baron, you think Baron Corbin would be good in SmackDown?
No, I'm saying Drew.
No, I know, but I'm asking you, though. Do you think Baron Corbin would be a good addition to SmackDown? Because I honestly think he would be. I don't like his gimmick,
really.
But he's not. I don't like his gimmick, but he's not that bad in ring. I think he needs people to push him, and I think SmackDown would be a good place to give him, to make him find his place now. Because honestly, look, it surprises me that Baron Corbin is in so many spots and so many segments and all that stuff. Because if I remember correctly, there was a show that they had called Breaking Ground, and it was based on the NXT thing. This was about 3 years ago, I believe. And before he got into the main roster, in this show Breaking Ground, there was a segment with him where they were about to cut him. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing or where he was going, and they were going to cut this guy. You know what I mean? He thought he was about to lose his job. Now, 3 years down the line, he's one of the guys that has, like, if not the most segments on Raw sometimes, which makes no sense to me because, again, the gimmick and stuff is just not there. Even when it got to a point where we even agreed that, oh, shit, this gimmick is still better than the other gimmick. But it kind of did it. It wore off real quick. Because there was a point where we were like, man, this whole cutting his hair off and this whole commission and things kind of working for him. Mm-hmm. And then that got shot down real quick, too. Like, probably lasted, what, I think a show or two. And then after that, it was just back to shit again.
Yeah. Well, enough about Barry Corbin. Let's talk about the bizarre booking of this past Monday. What the fuck? Why did every Raw star that debuted on Raw or returned to Raw lost every single fucking match during the shakeup? Why?
Which what?
Why did every Raw superstar that returned to Raw or debuted for the first time ever during the shakeup lost every single fucking match this past Monday, dude? Why did Miz lose his first match back to Raw? Why did Samoa Joe lose his first match back on Raw? And he's the U.S. champion, mind you. Why did Robert Roode beat Ricochet for? Why? Why did Cedric Alexander lose his debut match on Raw? Why? Why the fuck did they lose all their debut and return matches, Batman?
That I couldn't answer. I don't see the logic in that. You're going to make somebody return and start them off on a good foot, you make them win.
Fucking Miz losing in his first match back after losing at WrestleMania. Wow, good booking for Miz. And then you make Samoa Joe lose his first match back from his stomach flu. Wow, good booking for fucking Joe.
Who did he lose his match to, though?
He lost to Ray and AJ in the triple threat match. AJ beat
That makes sense to me, though.
No, here's the stupid way, though. AJ Styles classed Ray on Joe. Like, Ray is like a fucking ton of bricks. What the fuck? How the fuck can you lose to Ray, dude? Ray's like a fucking tiny twig. And you're telling me Ray is like a fucking ton of bricks and you fucking can't kick out?
Yeah, but he powerbombed him and then did the Styles Clash, right?
Fuck me, dude. I know, but it's stupid. Why did Joe need to get pinned? Why Joe?
Who else were you
going to
pin?
Ray.
Well, yeah, but Ray's already had that loss. Didn't he just lose recently, too? And then he lost WrestleMania in a terrible fashion to Samoa Joe?
Yeah, but still, Miz lost twice. Why couldn't Ray lose? See the contradictory right there? If Miz loses after his loss to WrestleMania, why couldn't Ray do it? There's the contradictory right there.
I guess that makes sense.
You know what else is dumb? You know the idea? You know what Vince's idea was for Raw? You know how they wanted to replace Shield? They wanted to make a 3-man stable with fucking Andrade, Ray, and Sin Cara.
I heard rumors about that because he's trying to get the Lucha crowd again.
How the fuck would that have worked? Oh. That wouldn't work for shit.
It wouldn't work because Ray is a babyface, so that means you'd have to make the rest a babyface. But Sin Cara is not too far-fetched on being a babyface. But CN Almas is the one that you'd have to switch over, which is not going to work right now. Because he's got a lot of momentum as a heel right now.
Yeah. He's better as a single star. So, right now is the what the fuck moment. The first one is, you know, the Viking experience. We already talked about that, so let's skip it. This one is very interesting. And this proves my report that Bayley is getting fucked over. For the right reasons, because she deserves it. Bayley gets booed on fucking Montreal. Batman, it was a thing of beauty. Bayley, who got fucking what she deserved, got fucking booed.
I heard about this. Again, I didn't get to watch Raw or SmackDown, but I did see
Montreal
a lot.
No, last week.
Yeah. Okay, last week, right? I caught part of it. Yeah, man. I think it goes to what I was mentioning earlier. Like, you know what? The fans aren't stupid, and they hear the rumors. And you know what? Speaking of which, after we had gotten off the phone, we talked about how, you know, I'm grateful, this and this and that, all this other things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
After we got off the phone, I think, I don't know if it was that day or the day after, they posted pictures. Mm-hmm. Of them with Peyton Royce right after the match. And I don't know if it was a way to dispel the rumors or what. Like to say, look, everybody's just talking, but we really didn't have a problem at all. Da-da-da-da-da. There was never an issue. literally right after the match, they were all sweaty. You can tell the girls are crying and all that stuff. They have a little, like a powwow. I don't know if you've seen it, but it goes to show with what I was saying last time. Now that the crowd knows this, now that us fans know this, like, for example, us, obviously, who are doing a podcast about this stuff, how are the fans going to react from that point forward? Are they still going to have her back? Because, of course, she's going to have her diehard fans. Oh, don't worry about what everybody else says. Ticka, ticka, ticka. We still love you. Ticka, ticka, ticka. You are still the boss. Ticka, ticka, ticka. They're mistreating you. Da, 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 da. Iconics didn't deserve the title belt. Da, 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 da. But then you have the fans like us where it's like, exactly. Then you have the fans like us where like, well, no, they don't. If they really did do that, and they really are, there's all these rumors. A lot of times rumors are started for a reason. Sometimes they're not even rumors. They're actual true facts. You know what I mean? They're just labeled as rumors because, we don't know if it's real or not. Man, there's just way too many reports of them acting like that. Like I said last week, man, if they were acting like that, that's ungrateful, and it's going to affect how people are going to look at you now. Are they going to give a fuck about you? And you know what? This past week when they booed the shit out of her, and this is from the, like you said, Montreal crowd, bro. This is a wrestling town, like Chicago or Houston. These people are going to be vocal because they love their wrestling, and they love their stories, and they love this, continue on. If they were booing Bayley is supposed to be the girl, hugs and love and all this. If they're booing her, guess what? It's because the crowd knows of the rumors and innuendos, and they're not going to see you the same. You would think that her coming out, the crowd would be happy. Cheers, cheers, yada, yada, yada. No, nobody gave a fuck. It was nothing but booze.
And then this week they booked her as being serious, Bayley. But she still lost to Charlotte. So, she's fucked. Bayley's fucked.
Yeah, so are they making her lose on purpose, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's already a joke. Might as well
release
her right
after
now.
That, especially after that, we were already complaining about where her story was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they were smart, they could use this as a heel line for real. Because reality, again, when reality gets added into wrestling, it makes for a better storyline. I figured like they could add this, it's all now
that
she's going to deliver.
But then that's going to fuel Sasha Banks' ego. So I don't want that.
Yeah, she already has a huge one, as we can see.
Yeah. Oh, fuck her. Fuck Bayley. Fuck Sasha Banks. I used to be a fan of Bayley, but now I see right through her. She's an immature bitch. Fuck her and fuck Sasha, all right? Sasha, go fuck yourself. I hope you don't fucking come back. I hope that you don't show up in Money in the Bank. If you fucking win Money in the Bank, I'm going to fucking rage quit because you don't fucking deserve that fucking briefcase, all right? You better not be in Money in the Bank, but you probably will because then they're going to – because some of them are weak because they want to fucking bend down and beg you to come back. That's what's going to happen, isn't it? You're going to fucking win Money in the Bank. You're going to cash in on Becky Lynch. You're going to take the Raw Women's Championship. And then you're going to have a fucking heat-filled heel turn that's going to be fucking awful because they're going to boo you for real because you're a bitch. That's what's going to happen, Batman. That's what's going to happen. She's going to fucking come in Money in the Bank. She's going to fucking win the briefcase. She's not cashing on Becky.
Yeah, I've heard
all
these rumors. I hope not.
But
it sounds like it might happen.
And then there's another fucking rumor that pisses me off. We all know Jinder Mahal's back on SmackDown, right? Well, here's the fucking terrible rumor. The rumor has it Jinder Mahal is going to be the one that takes Kofi away the WWE title. So that means Jinder Mahal is going to be WWE champion again, dude. That's the fucking rumor. I hope this rumor is not fucking true.
Wow, really? I haven't seen that rumor yet. I did see the rumor of KO, them thinking of having KO take the belt off.
No, it's gonna be Big E. It has to be Big E. He'll turn Big E. Big E wins the briefcase and turns on Kofi. That's what I want. but I hope this fucking rumor is not fucking true. I hope fucking Jinder does not fucking win the belt again. I hope it's not fucking true. I hope to God it's not true. I don't want Jinder as WWE champion. Can you imagine him being WWE champion? What?
I hope not. I hope that he doesn't win again. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but he doesn't deserve it. He's just not on that spot again. Kofi deserves a longer run. I really hope that they didn't just make this WrestleMania just to make it a moment, which is okay.
Dude.
But not right now. Come on. That's where they fuck up a lot right now, is not giving the audience a chance to get invested. Here's the thing. I know that they've been doing this because the audience has let it known that they get bored real quick. They want something new all the time.
But
I think we're hitting a rage. I think we're hitting a time where, no, I think we want to get invested again, man. And this isn't the way to do it.
But, dude, Kofi and Becky are going to get fucking screwed at Money in the Bank. You know that, right? Kofi and Becky are going to lose the belts at Money in the Bank. They're going to lose the belt. Not for Kevin Owens. I'm going to keep saying it and saying that it's going to be Big E. He's going to win Money in the Bank. He's going to come in to save Kofi, but then he's going to turn heel and cashes it in on Kofi. But enough about that. Let's talk about Brock Lesnar almost sabotaging WrestleMania main event. You don't know, remember when you said that Brock Lesnar pulled some strings and he wanted to be the first match of the main event of the WrestleMania Batman? You know? Well, I got some more information about that. He wanted to be the main event, not the first match. He wanted to sabotage the show during the fucking show, Batman. He wanted to be the main event again, and he practically said, fuck the women. Fuck those girls. Are you fucking for real? You pulled this shit during the show, WrestleMania Live? You pulled this shit backstage knowing that the main event's already set? They were not going to give him that fucking main event. He should have known better. Fuck Lesnar. Fuck him. I hope he never fucking comes back.
I can't hate on the guy. I mean, as much as I want to say that too, at the same time, it's like, but God, you got to understand the balls that dude has to have to tell Vince something like that. Because nobody really has the balls to tell him anything. You get what I mean? Like, everybody listens to Vince, and a lot of times Vince doesn't have the greatest ideas. Sometimes they listen to Vince to where it's going to get them fucking buried. At least Brock Lesnar has the sense to be like, no, I'm demanding this much money. That's the money that I'm going to get because you're the one that wants me, not me wanting you.
That's like fucking Hulk Hogan in mid-match in War Games 3 when fucking Hulk Hogan didn't want to put fucking Randy Savage over to win the WCW World Championship in the Battle Royal, and in mid-match, he wanted to go under the fucking rope. No, that's shit. Hulk Hogan and shit. Remember that shit?
No.
Every fucking time Randy Savage won the WCW belt, it always went back to fucking Hulk Hogan the next night. Every fucking time. Do you remember that shit?
Yes, I do. Thing where, and I don't think it's that thing. I think it's just WWE where I said this earlier, but it just because it makes sense, man. They really are just. They need to focus on their competition. This is what I was going to try to say earlier. That they're just in a comfortable zone. Their stories can be whatever they want. They're still going to get the fans out there. They're going to sell out their arenas or whatever they're at, right? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about competition and the fact of, like, monetary wise. Like, no, these guys got it in the bag. They're in the scene. They're going to make money.
what they need to do, because they're going to lose money too, right? They're still, even in losing money on a bad day, it's still a better day than what TNA or Ring of Honor or anybody else has. That's a fact. No matter how much those guys make, they're still probably not going to make what WWE makes. You know what I mean? Even on the worst day. My thing is that they don't have to worry about the monetary part. Yeah, they're going to lose money. What they need to worry about is the reason why they're losing the money, which is and what I mean in competition form is storylines. It's the gimmicks. It's their characters. They need to invest a lot more in these characters now, because if they don't, guess what? There's a lot of other gimmicks and characters, not just in WWE. They're everywhere else. Perfect example, as I mentioned earlier, the Bullet Club. Their marketing, their shirts sell out. WWE shirts don't do that a lot. You know what I mean? That's what they need to worry about. Not just the big show. What they need to worry about is the people, because they're paying attention more to these guys now than they are. I mean, look, I bet you anything, people out there know more about the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho now more than they know who the fuck Elias or Bobby Lashley or Drew McIntyre are. These are guys are on Raw every single week, and they have segments on live TV every single week, and I bet you those guys still, nobody knows them as much as, you know, the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho, you know what I mean? And people know Chris Jericho, but especially his resurgence value. Like, that's what you need to worry about is these gimmicks and these characters, and pay attention to that and what they're doing and how they're doing it, because that's what's going to hurt them in the end, because they don't have any of that right now, and that's where they're losing their money. Because, again, as I mentioned earlier, nobody's going to want to spend $40 on a shirt on somebody who they really don't give a fuck about, and that's the truth. I mean, if that was me, I wouldn't. We're all hard-working people, you know what I mean? I'm not going to go to a show and be like, oh, well, I'll spend $40 on a No Way Jose shirt. Fuck no, I don't give a fuck about the dude. Now, if he had a hot-ass star, then yes, we probably wouldn't mind. And that, but again, that's where the money issue is coming from. It's just nobody's invested right now in anything, in any of the stories, any of the gimmicks. Give me one person other than Kofi Kingston. And that's already kind of shot in the dark, because it's kind of that light was really bright on WrestleMania. But after that, it's like they turned that light switch off. Nobody gave a fuck anymore.
Why?
You know what I mean? Like, give me somebody right now, you as the booker, you the genius, Christian,
yes,
that people are invested in right now. Who are they truly invested in right now? That you see it all over TV, you see it all over the news, you see it everywhere. In my opinion, I don't see anybody.
I see in a certain extent Finn Balor. In a certain extent. Balor. To a certain degree. Finn Balor, internationally, because he brings the international fans in. Batman, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so I say Finn Balor to a certain extent.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you with that person. But who else?
Mm-hmm.
But who else?
Seth
even
Rollins.
Finn Balor, though. No, that's the thing. Nobody's really invested in these guys right now.
Exactly,
yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
People, look, okay, you do hear the burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not, no investment. There's just no investment, bro. I can't, even if you say Finn Balor, you say, what's his name? Seth Rollins is still not. It's just not. I don't know. I just maybe it's me thinking that, but there's nobody that makes me want to turn on the TV right now and see, like, okay, what's really going on. But I sure as fuck want to know what's going on with the Young Bucks. I want to know what's going on in New Japan. what's going on with Kenny Omega today? You know what I mean? But I don't really give a fuck about what's going on with Finn Balor right now. I did at a point, guess what, when he wasn't in the WWE. I'm like, because he was a hell of a character. Once he got in WWE, he got watered down again, like most people do.
And then guess what? He got lost in the shuffle, man. He was doing great in NXT, and then after that, what happened? He got on Raw, he got injured, and I mean, we don't really say anything highly about him since he's been there.
Yeah. We talk about him, but not in a good light.
No. Awful. Yeah, there's nobody.
There's nobody right now that the people that can get invested in.
Not even if these people were in the Ruthless Aggression era, would they have gotten over? None of these stars right now
She's only one person that I can think of that still gets talked about, that still has a push, that still has that kind of that nudge. And he's not even around right now? John Cena. John Cena still gets more rumors, still gets more paparazzi, still gets more shows and all that stuff than all these guys. And he hasn't been on TV for a while. And Taker. And guess what? But these guys are from a different era. This era right now, again, nobody is invested, bro. You gotta. If I were people right now, and they're in their spot in this position, I would feel a little bit like, fuck, I gotta step my game up, because if they're still talking about John Cena, they're still talking about Undertaker, and they don't even come on as much, we're doing something wrong, because we're on TV every day. I'm on TV every day, and I got probably like, what, 2, 3, 4 segments every day, or every show, and I still don't get talked about or mentioned as much as John Cena or Undertaker. There's gotta be something wrong then. You know what I mean? There's gotta be something wrong. Maybe I don't know if I'm making sense in what I'm trying to say, but there's got to be something. They're doing something wrong, whether it's with their character, whether it's creative. Maybe it's just them in general that don't want to push.
What character? They don't have
That's
characters.
That's what I mean. They don't even have characters. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, there's no investment. There's nothing right now.
They're
just to be there, I think.
What is Seth Rollins?
Which is good, they can take care of their family, but that's not the whole point either. You're doing this to be,
What's Seth Rollins' character?
Well, he was considered the engineer. Now he's not.
He's not, no. What's his fucking character?
I don't know what he would be. I just know he's the CrossFit.
Nothing.
He's the CrossFit angel. CrossFit Jesus.
No, he's just nothing. Let's move on. What if now we go to what if scenarios? What if Braun Strowman went to SmackDown? Probably the same shit he's been doing on Raw. That's just it. He'd probably just do the same shit he's been doing since Raw.
I think it'd be a little different because, again, the people on SmackDown are a whole different beast or different animals than the people on Raw. And I think in SmackDown it would be good for him because there's a lot of people that could bump his feet for him and make him look good again. There's not a lot of big dogs. Well, there's Roman Reigns again. There's not a lot of big dogs, though, and no pun intended, that could run over Braun Strowman. I think this would be a different dynamic. And in Raw, he's got a lot of guys that could go against him legitimately. You know, in SmackDown, there's a lot of smaller guys and that can make him look really good, really big, real quick. And he's already terrorized Raw, so maybe going to SmackDown would be a good move for him because this is a whole new place for him to reign terror, you know, on different people that we haven't seen before. Like, you're on Raw, well, we've already seen you go through Finn Balor. We've already seen you go through whatever, through Roman Reigns, through this guy and that guy. Maybe SmackDown would be a good change for him because we haven't seen him go against any of the guys in SmackDown yet. And I don't know why, but I can't even name who's on SmackDown right now. And that's a sad freaking thing.
I can't even name anyone either. Like, I only know Randy Orton.
See,
I
can see
Randy
going through Braun Strowman. Randy Orton and Braun Strowman would actually be a good feud.
No, I mean, I only know that Randy Orton's on SmackDown. I can't remember who's on SmackDown either.
Yeah, just Randy.
That's how
right?
bad it is. It's Randy, then Finn Balor. That's about it. That's all I remember. Andrade. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Fuck.
I think Randy would be a good thing, though, that we talk about it, though. Randy would be awesome with Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
And actually, I could see Randy take down Braun Strowman. Because we've talked about this, too, I think. Who would be a good person for Braun Strowman to legitimately lose with to make it to where he's not buried? I think Randy Orton would be great. Because Randy Orton is one of those characters where he could beat anybody at any time. And that RKO, I would love to see the heights that he goes to just to get that RKO on Braun Strowman. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
when he was being real creative and you would see him do an RKO on Big Show, and you're like, God, he had to get pretty high just for that. Do you know? So I could, just the creativity on where he would, how would he bust out the RKO on Braun Strowman? You know? So, I put it in my head. Now I'm like, man, I wish he could go to SmackDown because that would be a good landscape for him. And Randy Orton
yeah.
would be an awesome person to put him against.
Yeah, but we can't get all what we want. So, you know, fuck us. Fuck us. We actually want what we want. But, you know, I digress. Let's go to what if Batista defeated Triple H at WrestleMania? Well, what would have happened if Triple H defeated WrestleMania, Batman?
To who?
What if Batista defeated Triple H at WrestleMania?
Well, from what I'm aware, that would have been the end of Triple H's career, right?
Yeah, but we all know that's bullshit anyway. Bullshit anyway. He's still going to wrestle even if it's
career over. Well, yeah, because retirement is a word that's being thrown around pretty easily lately in the wrestling business. No one ever stays really fully retired. Well, honestly, man, that probably would have been a cool send-off. I see why he did it, because he went on the interview with Lillian. He had one, and then he had another one, like kind of almost consecutive. He had it before, and then he had an after interview for Batista on Lillian Garcia's Chasing Glory, I believe. And I respect what he was doing. You know, Triple H is the one that really brought him in, taught him a lot of stuff, and really put him over, you know, and made him look great on those things. And I think he was like my way of paying him back, because he really did. He put him over in those three matches immensely. He made Batista look great. You know, there was a lot of bloodshed in these matches, if I remember correctly. And he put him over really, really good, bro. He made him look strong. So Batista, in his eyes, was like, you know what, the only respectable way I could do is, especially if I'm ending my career, would just be for me laying on my back, man, and just giving it to Triple H this time. You know what I mean? So I respect that. But I would have actually liked to see him win. It would have been a good okey-doke on everybody, because I think everybody kind of already focused on him losing. I think that was the direction that everybody kind of was already leaning to. Like, I think he's going to lose this last match. Yada, yada, yada. Triple H is still the COO. There's no way he's going to lose. You know what I mean? But it still would have been a nice turnaround. It still would have been something nice for him to, like, to send off, you know? Obviously, I think that's just us being selfish as a fan, because, I mean, at least me as a fan, I would have liked to see him win. But him losing, I think, was a little more important than him winning, because he doesn't need a win. He's already had his WrestleMania moments, you know? He's had a few of them. One of them was beating Triple H. So, I'm okay with that ending for his career. And but, yeah, if he would have won, I actually could see him continuing. Like, if him winning, I think would have been a good there's a word I'm looking for.
Transition.
No. Well, look, we all knew that his feud was gonna, or his story was going to end after WrestleMania, but I think him winning would have gave it, would have gave room for him to continue another, you know, another month or two to give us some better story or matches. You know what I mean? Like another chance to win us over. Him losing obviously ended that, but him winning, I would have liked to see another month or two. At least it goes to SummerSlam.
Yeah. All right, so the last what-if scenario is, what if Seth Rollins went to SmackDown Live? Now, what I mean by this is, what if the champions, world champions, switched brands? What if Kofi went to SmackDown as WWE champion? And what if Seth Rollins as the Universal Champion went to SmackDown, and instead of the red strip, it turns into a blue strip? So what if Seth Rollins went to SmackDown, Batman?
Well, I think Seth Rollins going to SmackDown is like AJ going to Raw. They're both really similar, similar style. They're both pretty over with the crowd. I guess we'll say that, fan favorites. Honestly, I like that idea because Raw, I mean, Seth Rollins is anonymous with Raw now. Seth Rollins. Monday Night Rollins, you know. Him going to SmackDown would be a good, I think, a breath of fresh air. It'd be something new and different.
Rollins versus Andrade. Rollins versus Randy Orton again. Rollins versus Shinsuke again. Rollins versus Rusev. I mean, matches set themselves as they go along, so.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know what? That doesn't matter. Because what does matter is, unfortunately, our time in our show is over. It's up. But, you could tune in.
Oh, it's gone pretty quick today.
Yep. What? I'm sorry, Batman. What? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, no. No, I said, wow, that went pretty fast today. That only happens when you have fun, man. Time flies by.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could tune in next Saturday on Radio Renegades. Next Saturday when, you know, another week, we'll see if Bray Wyatt's gimmick. Well, actually, let's talk about Bray Wyatt's gimmick before we head off the air, actually. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, continue.
All right, so Bray Wyatt is doing a new gimmick. We don't know if it was his idea or was it Vince's idea. We don't know. But it looks like this could rejuvenate his career. But shareholders and stockholders want to cancel it. I don't think they should cancel it yet because we haven't seen what this could happen. But who knows? Batman, what will happen if it gets fucking canceled? Where does Bray Wyatt go from here if it gets fucking canceled?
Where does he go from here? I think he just goes where everybody else is going to AEW. No. I don't know, because honestly, I don't even know where this gimmick is going. I may be one of the only ones who's not really into it. I'm not into it, but it's got me curious enough to know where the hell they're going with it. It's like both invented the Mr. Rogers thing going on, Pee Wee Herman.
Exactly.
I want to see.
It's actually Blue Clues.
Well, yeah, I guess. Okay, I'm sorry. That would be my generation, too, I guess.
You know what this reminds me of? Freddy Krueger. Because fucking Bray Wyatt is talking to children and he's wearing a red sweater.
See, that's why I thought Mr. Rogers, because of the red sweater.
Yes. Yeah. He gives me a Freddy Krueger vibe, Bray Wyatt, with the red sweater. I mean, Bray Wyatt could pull off the creepy shit. That's his fucking thing. But what's going to happen when it gets canceled? Like, what the fuck are they going to do? They're going to make them go off TV time again until they come up with something else? That's going to be fucking awful for him.
Yeah, so what do you think? What do you think they're doing in this direction with the kids thing? You think it's because of the whole pregnancy? Because he's supposed to be having a baby now.
No, I think they're going to go the same route as what they did with Undertaker when he went American Badass. They're going to try to make Bray Wyatt human.
A human? Ah, man, I don't know if I could see that, though. Cause, I mean, I guess it would be a good direction.
He's already turning human. He said he doesn't want to be his old gimmick again.
I don't think this is a WWE thing. I think he's the one that came up with the idea, like how he did with the Bray Wyatt thing, and they kind of liked it.
Yeah.
He has a sick, twisted mind, and I know they're going to go somewhere with it, but we're just going to have to wait and see, I guess, because I kind of felt the same way when I remember when the Wyatt family was first coming out, and they were doing the whole, like, the little candles and the...
When I feel about this, I think he's going to be human, just like Undertaker was when he was American Badass. He's going to be human. He already said he doesn't want to be that gimmick no more, so he's turning human, more human. He's going to debut as a heel at first, but then he's going to get over, right? He's going to turn babyface. But then he has to feud a monster like Lars Sullivan. I think he's going to feud with Lars Sullivan when he turns babyface, right? Hear me out. He feuds with Lars.
Did we hear this first?
Yes. He feuds with Lars Sullivan as a babyface. First, Bray Wyatt comes with his new gimmick as a heel. But then he goes over with the fans and he turns face, right? But then later down the road, he meets Lars Sullivan. He has a feud with Lars Sullivan. Lars Sullivan kayfabe kills Bray Wyatt, right? And everyone thinks Bray's dead, but then he comes back with the Eater of Worlds gimmick because he's back from the dead. I think this is going to go the same route as with the American Badass Undertaker. Bray's going to be human for like a few years, but then he's going to go back to the Eaters of Worlds. When Lars Sullivan or somebody else, kayfabe, kills him. He says, screw being fucking human. I'm going to go back to what I was meant to be. The Eaters of World. Follow the buzzards. I think that's going to happen, Batman.
How you come up with this stuff, I don't get. Because, like I said, I know a lot about wrestling, but I can never come up with these stories the way you do. I mean, I guess it's not a bad idea. But I honestly feel like once you go through this, I don't know if he can go back to the Eater of Worlds. Do you think that would work?
I'm telling you, a few years. This gimmick will last a few years.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that could happen.
He has to, he doesn't miss it, but he's tempted to go back, but he stays the course for a few years until he meets an unstoppable force like Lars Sullivan or somebody else where it will force him to go back to being the Eaters of World.
Yeah.
Especially the ghost of Sister Abigail, because you can even bring in the storyline of this. When Randy Orton burned down the house of Sister Abigail, it freed her spirit. So that means Randy Orton did an exorcism where he freed the spirit of Sister Abigail that was trapped inside the house. And when the spirit goes and visits Bray Wyatt when he's down and out and almost half death, the spirit of Sister Abigail goes inside of Bray Wyatt and brings them back to being the Eaters of World. That's how you mix two storylines from separate to continuity right there.
Actually, it works.
And not only that, but I know the perfect person to play the role of Sister Abigail, Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross, I was thinking the same thing.
Nikki Cross. She will be Sister Abigail, and she will help Bray Wyatt return to the way he was, the Eaters of World. That's how you fucking rejuvenate his career. But then Nikki Cross turns on Bray, and then Bray is betrayed. Because that's what's going to happen in the future anyway. Nikki Cross is going to be with Bray, but then she fucking betrays him. It will be like Paul Bearer betraying Undertaker for Mankind. Yeah?
Yeah. I actually see that. I've actually heard rumors, too, that The Undertaker, you know, he's trying to come back again. That if they were to, that, you know, he's obviously had, like, you know, feelings about his last match and all that. His last match was was going to be the one with Roman, but then, you know, obviously there was botches in that match, so he's, like, wasn't happy. That Bray Wyatt was a choice for him to go against him again and retire, I think. That would be a good way to reinvigorate. There you go.
Rejuvenate.
His gimmick.
Rejuvenate his
gimmick. We're gonna bring him back into, you know, Sister Abigail thing and all that stuff, the Wyatt family type mode.
Yeah.
Being in a match with The Undertaker and doing something legit, not like how the House of Horrors and all the bullshit that we did with Randy Orton. No, I mean like a legit fucking storyline. I mean, the dead man versus the guy, you know, the Eater of Worlds. I mean, that would be an awesome way to end Undertaker's career and restart Bray Wyatt's. Because Bray Wyatt has still, obviously, he still has some pull in the company. He's been gone for a while, and then he's coming up with this idea, and they're letting him do it. Full reign. He's got some kind of pull. So with that pull, you got to be smart enough to put yourself in a position to where you can reinvigorate your career again. And I think that would be a good way to do it with The Undertaker.
I completely agree. But right now
passing the torch.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to end the show now. Tune in next Saturday for Radio Renegades, where we have a lot of things to discuss, a lot of controversy, a lot of interesting news. Say goodbye to a lovely audience, Batman. Say goodnight.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining in on this beautiful Saturday night. Of course, we appreciate all of your love and your support. If it wasn't for y'all guys listening, tuning in, we wouldn't be doing this. So I just want to give y'all a ooh, yeah. And y'all guys, have a good night, man.
All right. So that was Batman. From all of us, to me, to you, to all the fans, this has been Christian from Philly. This has been Batman. This has been Radio Renegade. See you next Saturday. Until then, good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.